Tales of Yudhisthir. Yudhisthir, the eldest of the five Pandava princes, was born to Kunti by the grace of Yama. His actions were free from passion and prejudice. He came to be considered the very embodiment of Dharma and was respectfully referred to as Dharmaraj. Yama, the awe-inspiring god of death, is also revered as the Lord of Justice. According to Hindu belief, all living beings reap the fruit of their actions after death. Yama administers justice to all the beings brought before him. Since he metes out justice strictly according to Dharma, he is called Yamadharma. Who else could test Yudhisthir but Yamadharma? Yudhisthir emerged from the ordeals a stronger soul.
The Enchanted Lake. In the forest of Dvaitavan, there lived a pious Brahmin. His most precious possession was a pair of shami sticks, which set off sparks when rubbed against each other. He used these sticks to light the fire for his yajñas. When the sticks were not in use, he would hang them on a tree. One day, when he was away, a deer came up to the tree and playfully butted the sticks, and they got entangled in its antlers. Later, when the Brahmin returned to his cottage,
"My sticks!"
he dropped the bundle of dry twigs and ran after the deer. But the Brahmin, who was no match for the swift animal, soon had to give up the chase.
"I have lost my precious sticks forever. What shall I do? Whom shall I turn to for help?"
As he turned to go back to his hermitage, a thought suddenly struck him.
"The valiant Pandavas. Why didn't I think of them? They will certainly help me."
The Pandava princes, who had lost their kingdom to their wily cousins, were now living in exile with their wife Draupadi. When the Brahmin stood before them, Yudhisthir, the eldest Pandava, was the first to speak.
"Welcome to our hermitage. Is there anything we can do for you?" "O king, only you can save me."
The Brahmin then told him of the loss of his sticks.
"Without my sticks, I will not be able to perform my religious duties. We will track down the deer and bring back the sticks to you."
The Pandavas set out. For a while they had no luck. Then suddenly,
"Deer tracks. Let us follow them."
At last, far, far away from their hermitage,
"Look, the deer!"
The Pandavas chased the deer and shot at it, but in vain. For suddenly,
"It has vanished. What shall we do now? We must find it again. Let us continue the hunt. I am tired, hungry, and thirsty. Then let us rest before we go on." "Nakula, climb up this tree and see if there is a tank or a stream nearby." "There is a lake not far from here." "Good. Come down and fetch us some water in your quiver."
"Soon."
"We are indeed fortunate to find water so near at hand."
He rushed to the lake.
"Wait."
This lake belongs to me. You may drink from it only after you answer my questions.
Nakul looked around. There was no one in sight.
Who could it be? I'll find out after I have quenched my thirst.
The next moment, he fell dead. Meanwhile, the other Pandavas became impatient.
Why hasn't Nakula returned yet? Go, Sahadev, and see if you can do better.
When Sahadev, the youngest of the Pandavas, neared the lake,
Nakula, Nakula, he's dead. He must have died of thirst. I'd better drink some water before I suffer the same fate. I own this lake. If you drink without first answering my questions, you too will fall dead.
But Sahadev hardly heard him, and he too fell dead. Then came Arjun, the third of the Pandavas. He came in search of his brothers.
Nakula, Sahadev, how? Who has done this vile deed? Whoever it is, he has invited his own death.
Arjuna raised his bow and looked around.
There is no one in sight. Before I go in search of the murderer, I'd better quench my thirst.
When he was about to drink the cool water,
No, Arjuna, don't. Not if you want to live. You will first answer my questions.
Arjuna was enraged.
Will I? Oh, coward, appear before me if you dare, and then lay your conditions.
When his taunt did not seem to have any effect, Arjun raised his bow and shot in the direction of the voice.
Your arrows cannot harm me, Arjuna. Why don't you answer my questions? I will, with more effective weapons, but not before I drink some water from this lake.
Arjuna, too, disregarded the warning and paid the penalty. Then came Bhim, the second Pandava. When he saw his brothers lying dead near the lake,
this must be the act of a yaksha or a rakshasa. A battle awaits me. Let me quench my thirst and prepare myself for it.
Bhima too drank the water, disregarding the warning of the invisible one, and fell dead. At last, Yudhisthira himself came. He was stunned by the sight that met his eyes.
Dear, dear brothers, are you really dead, or are my eyes playing tricks on me? Oh, invincible Arjuna, oh, mighty Bhima, there was none to equal you in strength and valor. Who could have killed you? Oh, Nakula, Sahadeva, my children, surely my heart must be made of stone that, beholding you dead, it does not break. No mark of weapons upon them, no sign of a struggle, no footprints visible. Who could have killed them?
As Yudhisthira was about to drink, a voice stopped him.
I am the crane who owns this lake. If you drink without first answering my questions, you too will die like your rash brothers. You, who have killed those who could not be overcome either by the devas or the asuras, cannot be an ordinary bird. Tell me who you really are.
The next moment,
I am a yaksha. If you answer my questions, you may drink at my lake. O yaksha, ask your questions. I shall try to answer them. Then here is the first one. What makes one a brahmana? Birth, conduct, or learning? It is behavior that makes one a brahmana. What is it that causes ceaseless wonder? Day after day, countless people die. Yet, the living wish to live forever. What could be more extraordinary? How do you become rich? How do you become happy? If you abandon lust, you will be rich. If you abandon desire, you will be happy.
At last.
Your answers please me. One of your brothers can now come back to life. Which one do you want? Nakula, my lord.
The yaksha was surprised.
Why Nakula? Why not mighty Bhima or valiant Arjuna? One of them would be more useful to you when you try to regain your kingdom. Besides, Bhima and Arjuna are your own brothers. Nakula is only your stepbrother. Why do you choose him? My father had two wives, Kunti and Madri. I, a son of Kunti, am alive. Let a son of Madri too live. Lord, let Nakula come to life. I am pleased with your righteousness. All your brothers shall come to life.
And lo, they did.
My lord, you cannot be a yaksha. You must be a deva. Please reveal yourself.
The next moment, the yaksha vanished, and in his place stood Yama, the lord of death, by whose grace Yudhisthira had been born to Kunti.
I am Yama. I wanted to test you, so in the form of a deer, I took away the Brahmin's sticks to draw you to this spot.
Yama then gave Yudhisthira the sticks.
You will complete the remaining year of your exile successfully. You may now ask for another boon. Lord, may I never succumb to lust, avarice, or anger. May I ever be devoted to virtue and righteousness. My child, you will ever be what you are, the embodiment of Dharma.
And Yama vanished. The Pandavas returned the sticks to the Brahmin.
I shall be ever grateful to you, O Yudhisthira.
This story is called The Last Companion. When the 13 years of exile were over, Yudhisthira tried for a peaceful settlement with the Kauravas. But Duryodhan replied with a cry for war. Many were the brave warriors that were slain on either side before the Pandavas finally won the war. In spite of the victory, Yudhisthira was sad.
The kingdom is ours, but at what cost? Almost all of our dear kinsmen are slain. I shall renounce the world and become an ascetic.
The court elders, however, persuaded Yudhisthira that he had only fulfilled his duty, so he finally agreed to ascend the throne. Needless to say, he made a perfect king.
Our king is just, generous, and compassionate. May God bless him.
Several years went by. Then one day, Sage Narada called on Yudhisthira.
Holy One, in the course of your wanderings in the forest, Did you come across my mother, Kunti, and my uncle and his wife? I did, O King. I have bad news for you. They died in a forest fire. Mother!
Yudhisthira had hardly recovered from his grief when a messenger arrived from Dwarka.
My lord, the Yadavas are all dead. They killed one another in a drunken brawl, and Lord Krishna too has left this world. Krishna gone. No. I feel the time has come for us to leave this earth and seek heaven. We feel the same.
So Yudhisthira installed Parikshit, the son of Abhimanyu, on the throne and led Draupadi and his brothers out of Hastinapura. As the citizens stood outside the city, watching their beloved king and the brave Pandavas depart, a stray dog appeared on the scene. It followed the little group on their trek to heaven. Having crossed Mount Himavat, they walked through the great desert beyond it till they reached the foot of Mount Meru. They began to climb the mount. Their aim was to enter heaven in their human form, an aim only perfect beings could aspire to. Suddenly, Bhima was shocked.
O King, why has Draupadi, the sinless, fallen?
Yudhisthira answered without turning back.
She was partial to Arjuna.
Sahadev was the next to fall.
He lacked humility.
When Nakul followed Sahadev,
he was too proud of his handsome features.
As Yudhisthira proceeded, followed by Bhim and Arjun, the little dog continued to keep them company. After they had covered some distance,
Arjuna, his valor made him vain.
Suddenly, Bhima cried out,
"Wait! I, your darling, am falling. Where did I fail? You were greedy. You ate immoderately."
As Yudhisthira trekked on alone, except, of course, for the little dog, he saw a chariot in the sky. The next moment, Indra, the Lord of Heaven, stood before him.
"Come, Yudhisthira, I'll take you to heaven. Ascend this chariot. I do not wish to go to heaven without my brothers and our wife."
Indra smiled.
"They have already reached heaven, but not in their human forms. Ascend the chariot. This dog, too, will go with me." "No, no, there is no place in heaven for a dog." "No place for this faithful dog? Then I, too, have no place there. Will you lose heaven for the sake of an animal? Forsake the dog. I cannot abandon him. He has followed me devotedly." "But you did abandon your brothers and Draupadi. They were dead. This little dog is alive. He has kept me company. He depends on me. I won't abandon him."
Suddenly,
"It was I, Yama, who followed you in the form of a dog. O son, you have compassion for all creatures. That is why you and you alone may enter heaven in your human form."
Then Yudhisthira went with Indra, and Yama left for his own abode. When Yudhisthira entered heaven, he was received by the gods and the sages. He was surprised to see Duryodhan there.
"This is outrageous. Duryodhan here? Duryodhan, who was responsible for the war? For the destruction of men and morality? I will not stay here.
Narada stepped forward and tried to pacify him.
This is heaven. There can be no ill will here. Duryodhana's heroic death on the battlefield has won him a place in heaven. If heaven is the reward for the unrighteous Duryodhan, I would like to know what higher world has been attained by my righteous brothers.
He looked around.
Where are my brothers? Andropadi, where's Karna? Take me to my brothers.
Indra turned to Yudhisthira.
No one can force you to stay here if you don't want to.
He called a messenger.
Take the righteous Yudhisthira to his friends and relatives.
Yudhisthira followed the celestial messenger. As they walked on, the gentle glow of heaven gradually faded, and they were enveloped in blinding darkness.
Where are we going? To your brothers.
With each step they took, the more revolting became the scenes that met their eyes. As they went on, a foul stench almost suffocated Yudhisthira.
Where are we? Where are my brothers? When will we leave behind this unpleasant path and meet them?
The celestial messenger stopped.
I was told to lead you this far and stop. If you have had enough, you may return with me.
Disgusted by the foul smell, Yudhisthira began to retrace his steps. Suddenly,
wait! Don't leave us. As long as you are here, we do not feel the tortures inflicted upon us. Your pure presence brings us comfort. Please do not go back. I'm Arjuna.
I'm Draupadi.
I'm Karna. Who are you? I'm Bhima. I'm Nakula. I'm Sahadev.
Yudhisthira was bewildered.
Am I asleep or awake? Or have I gone mad?
Then he became angry.
Duryodhan in heaven? And my brothers in hell? Are the gods blind? Is Dharma dead? I am not going with you. Tell Indra that I will stay here, as my presence brings comfort to my dear ones.
The next moment, Yudhisthira was bathed in divine light. Indra and other deities appeared before him.
My child, for the one lie you spoke to hasten Drona's end, you were exposed to hell for a second. Your brothers had to suffer hell for a short duration for the faults you yourself were aware of. They are now in heaven. Those whose merits far exceed their sins experience hell first for a short while and then go to heaven.
Then Yama addressed Yudhisthira.
Child, this was your third test. You would rather stay in hell for the sake of your brothers. You are compassionate, righteous, and sinless.
Yudhisthira bowed to Yama.
Father, it was you who gave me strength to tread the righteous path. I bow to you.
He then had a dip in the celestial Ganga and assumed a divine form. He was then escorted by Indra and Yama to heaven, where he was reunited with his brothers.